listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by our content editor, Natasha Menifee. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. This is our first study today in the fall edition, which is Staying True in a World That is Far from God. This study is going to help us focus on living unashamed in today's culture, being a fully committed and devoted Christ follower that will cause us to stand out in society, and how we can do that unafraid and unashamed. So this first session is Developing Strong Convictions, and we're going to look at the book of Daniel. Through this study, in this particular session, we find Daniel standing on his convictions and living them out in a culture that is far different than the Lord's standards. This session is important because it's going to give us an example of how to navigate life when the customs and ways of our culture conflict with the standards that God has set before us.
All right. So our point for today is our convictions, not our circumstances, define who we are. And so our question, how can we develop strong convictions? And here's the first item. Know who you are. Know who you are. And so let's read this first section. Let's start reading at verse number 3. The king ordered Aspenas, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them names. He gave the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, and Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. All right, so here's our first section. In this, we get to see a king who now takes some of those who are his prisoners. So this is a time of exile for the Jewish nation. Daniel and these others have been taken in exile. They're away from home, and the king wants to make some of these his personal servants. So there's some training that they had to go through, 3 years of training, 3 years of eating their food, learning their language, learning their literature, so that they would be suitable for the king's service. So this is, I think one that passages that African-Americans really identify with the book of Daniel in these particular passages, because we resonate with the idea of being ripped from our homeland and having to serve in some other situation. And so our point here, though, is really to talk about this idea of conviction, knowing who you are. So they're taken from their homeland. They are given different food to eat and different things to drink. They are trained in different language and culture, and they're even given different names. So all of this is about changing their identity, taking away all of their history and all of the things that have made them who they are as a people, and making them fit into a new country, a new climate, a new culture. And so all of us can think about this. My brother just did one of those DNA tests. We're on ancestry.com. And so it talks, and so I figured my ancestry is same as his, since we got the same mother and father. So I don't have to pay for it, because he done paid for it. It's interesting to note the countries that my ancestors are from, right? There's so much history that comes along with your family line. And so here, what we're seeing has happened in our lives as African Americans, and what we see is happening in this text with these people, is they're trying to erase their history and give them a new identity. So the first thing about this, knowing who you are. All right. So what are you seeing here, Natasha?
I saw the same things. I think these details, they mirror what happens even today in our society. People have a tendency to place labels and attributes and adjectives on others to kind of get them to conform into who they want them to be, instead of who they are. I think it's important for us. What I took from this is that as believers, to know whose we are, who we belong to, because that's what determines who we are. It determines our identity. So I saw that with Daniel. Daniel knew who he was. He knew his God. And as we're going to see coming up in this next section, he made the decision not to compromise who he was and to stay true to the God that he served, despite the name that they tried to give him. He did not allow that to change what he knew about himself, what he knew about his God. And so he stood strong in who he was, despite what the people around him were trying to change and conform him into be.
All right. So I think one of the important things here is to take a look, get yourself a Bible dictionary or concordance, and look at the names of the young men and who are listed in this text. And so think about this. So we know these guys usually as Daniel. We call Daniel by his original name, because the book is named Daniel. But we name all the other guys by their slave name, right? If we ever would talk about this, we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go to any of our churches, name those three names. They know exactly who you're talking about. But those are the slave names. And we have to question in our own minds, why do we continue to call these guys by their slave names rather than by their native name? So Daniel means my God is my judge. They changed his name to Belteshazzar, which means Bel protect him. Hananiah means God has been gracious. They changed his name to Shadrach, which means the command of Aku. Michelle means who is what God is. They changed his name to Meshach, which means who is what Aku is. And Azariah's name means the Lord has helped. they changed his name to Abednego, which is servant of Nebo. So all of their names had a connection to God. And all of their slave names gave them a new connection to the Babylonian idols. And so, you know, what people start calling you is often what we have a tendency to become. And so if people start calling you as a connection to this, these idol gods, that's a way to get you to lower your commitment and to lower your to get rid of your convictions so that you will adapt and assimilate to what the idol god says you ought to be. And so that's why this section says, know who you are. What's your name? And so not your slave name, but what's your name connected to the Almighty? So we could have a long conversation about how this, what all of this can mean. And I'm sure you guys will dig into some of that in your classes. But that's going to be an important piece right there. Anything else on this who you are section?
No, but you brought up a good point, and it's also highlighted what you just touched on, the names in the digging deeper section. So I would encourage people to look in the digging deeper about their original names and the names they were changed into in the meetings, because that's a good point to bring out, a good thing to look at. And you, I love your question. Why do we continue to use their slave names instead of their given names? So I think that's a challenge for all of us to begin to learn those, their true names, and to begin to incorporate those into our vocabulary.
And maybe you have been stuck with some nickname or something somebody's called you from your past time in life. And what they're really trying to do is hold you down and reduce your new God-given convictions. And so, you know, grab onto your name to know who you are, right? Somebody might call us sinner, but God calls us a saint. Somebody might call us hurtful, but God says we are holy. And so it's important for us to grab on to our God-given names. Here's the second thing. Determine where you stand. Determine where you stand. Let's pick up our reading at verse number 8. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Yet he said to Daniel, I fear Lord the king, who assigned your food and drink. What if he sees your faces looking thinner than the other young men your age? You would endanger my life with the king. So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief eunuch had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. So here it is. Daniel is now making a determination on where he stands. And so he says he didn't want to defile himself with the king's food. And so now a lot of times in these days, people have come up with this thing they called the Daniel fast, right? And so So people were, you know, the Daniel fast, you're eating vegetables and all this other kind of stuff. And so, and some people have been thinking in light of this that meat defiles us, right? That is not specifically what Daniel is addressing here. Often the meats were offered to idols and all of this kind of stuff. And so Daniel is ridding himself of those things. And so you can read some about that even in the New Testament where Paul talks about this. And so that's why he wanted to eat these other things, the grains and the vegetables and the waters. Even in my own family, today we have four kids, my wife and I. I'm the only one that all the rest of them have become some kind of vegan, pescatarian, vegan, vegetarian, octolovo, vegan, all these kind of differences. Then my son, my oldest son, he flips back and forth sometimes, but I would say I'm the only one that eats like Jesus, because Jesus ate everything, right? So let's not get stuck in this, because Jesus ate everything. But just keep in mind what he's really talking about is the fact that he's trying to get rid of the spiritual influences, not specifically the fact that only vegetables are good for you. When God let down the sheet for Peter, when Peter was on the roof in the book of Acts, he said, don't call anything unclean. And so I take the Lord at his word. And so you've got to, but here's the whole point. When somebody tries to get you to grab on to other spiritual influences, you must determine where you stand. What do you see here, Natasha?
I agree. You have to determine where you stand. And what stood out for me with Daniel is he determined it ahead of time. And I think that's the important lesson for us, is we have to have a made up mind before we're faced with the situation. There's a part in the book on page 14. It says, although he was gracious in his request to decline the food, he had already decided in his heart that he would not consume the king's food. So he stood strong and he knew where he stood ahead before he got into the situation. He had already established that he wasn't going to do anything that he considered unholy or compromise his belief. And that has to be our conviction as well. I have to know ahead of time that I'm not going to go down this path. I'm not going to engage in this behavior. What is my response if I'm faced with some type of decision or dilemma that is going to have to cause me to question what I believe and what I know to be true? And so I think that's important for us to know ahead of time before you get in the situation. What is your response going to be? I tell my children that I have two teenagers. You have to have an answer before you have to give the answer. What are you going to do if X, Y, or Z happens? Because when we're in it, sometimes we don't think as quickly as we would like to. We don't respond as quickly. And in retrospect, I wish I would have said this. And sometimes if we are not already made up in our mind, we will compromise before we ever know it. So that's what stood out to me with Daniel. He knew, since he had made up in his heart that he was determined he was not going to do anything that defiled him. He didn't want to chance it. Like you said, it was the thought of had the food been offered to an idol god, he didn't want to take the chance. So he knew ahead of time. And that's what we have to know where we stand before we get into the situation where we have to take the stand.
Right. That's powerful. And so here's the third thing. Stand without compromise. Stand then without compromise. Let's start reading at verse number 17. God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time, that the king had said to present them, the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to attend the king. So when we get down to verse number 17, you know, this is now at the end of the 3 years, not just the end of the 10 days, but we're now jumped to the end of the 3 years. And because they had been faithful, because they stood without compromise, that's this section, stood without compromise, God blessed their lives and their efforts. It said they learned everything. And you know, so naturally they look good because of their diet. They had learned the language and they had learned the literature. And so they were able to stand before the king. Now, this is important to remember, stand without compromise. So they didn't compromise themselves, but they did do the work. They did the work that was being presented to them. Because you always want to do your best, right? The scripture says, whatever you do, do it as to the Lord and not to men. And so God can't use you if you are not prepared to be used. And so because these young men prepared themselves, they learned all that they needed to learn, so that they were at the top of their class. And because of that, they were chosen to serve Nebuchadnezzar the king. And so we're only in chapter one, but you got to remember Daniel, the book of Daniel has a lot more chapters. There's a lot more stuff that's going to unfold in the kingdom and in the lives of these men. But they would not have been there in the critical moments beyond chapter one had they just decided, we're going to slough off. We're not going to do our best. You know, we're going to compromise. And they would have never been chosen. And then God would not have been able to use them in chapter two and beyond. So do your best in the challenges you are facing today, because God has more chapters where he wants to use the excellence you're bringing to your situation right now. What are you seeing here, Natasha?
And I think Daniel and his friends knew that, and they relied on God's wisdom and his help to navigate the situation. They were able to stand without compromise because they were totally trusting. God. And I feel like that's the lesson for us to pull out. I looked at it as like they had a Joshua 1:9 posture in their heart. You know, they were strong. They were courageous because they knew God was going to be with them wherever they went. I think that has to be our mindset as well. Strong and courageous in my conviction, standing without compromising, knowing that God is with us. And so there's more life and more story beyond chapter one. And because he stood in God, trusting God to help him get through the situation, to give him the wisdom to have to navigate it. We're going to see God's wisdom in several more sessions to come, working through Daniel. I think that's where we have to be. Strong, courageous, knowing God is with us. And that's how we can continue to stand and not compromise our convictions.
Had Daniel not stood without compromise in chapter one, he'd have never got a book with his name on it.
Come on. Right. Exactly.
All right. So thank you guys so much. This is going to be a great lesson. And this is just launching the beginning of a great study. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just a moment. Natasha is going to give us a powerful one-minute teaching tip. But I want to remind each of you that you need to get your own copy of the U Bible Study, one for every member in your class. And so you can find it at u.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our Urban Cultural Forward Bible Study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a personal study guide, and so it meets everybody's needs. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book. There's daily devotional pages to keep you engaged in the Bible study every day. And it also comes with a beautiful leader's pack to make your lessons even more impactful. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So our teaching tip for today, before you teach this session on strong convictions, or any session for that matter, think prayer is always in order. So our tip is to pray frequently, and not only just for yourself, but lift each of your students up in prayer. Make this a habit on a regular basis. Ask God to specifically let you know what each learner should learn from this lesson. Ask God to prepare you to be what each student needs in the time of teaching. So prayer is always in order. So our tip for this session is to pray frequently.
All right. Thank you all so very much. This has been an exciting lesson for us, and I'm sure it will be for you as well. So join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.